M28, number 3A.
We ended yesterday by going through the order of the third degree in the scientific translation of mortal mind, which runs wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness. We did that. And then we stopped when I said, but to know that these agree and correspond with the 7 days of creation and the seventh synonymous term is not all that has to be seen, but that there is something much more important about it, and that is the order that runs through it, an order that is unique, an order that has an inner logicity and cannot be put into another order. See, so that we could not take these qualities and put them in any order, because they must bring out a logical sequence for any creative act. And so we just go quickly through that list again, as far as I remember you have written them down, and just see what the inner logicity is in this order. You see, we could ask ourselves, would we get anywhere in our creative act if we would not start with wisdom? If we start with ignorance, we certainly wouldn't get anywhere. So the very first thing must be mind, or mind's idea. Let there be light. There must first be some kind of enlightenment, of ideas, of intelligence, of wisdom. Without that, we would start right from an indefinite basis, and everything we would be building on that would never lead anywhere. So the very first point must be, therefore, that light of mind or wisdom. Then comes the second step in consciousness, which says, yes, if you start with ideas, with wisdom, then comes the second step, namely that you keep those ideas apart from all other suggestions. That's purity, to keep it separate from beliefs, so that those ideas that we have seen to be right are then not mixed up with any foreign element, with any opposite elements, so that thought begins to ponder and focus. You see, this is all the second day of purity, to ponder the ideas of wisdom. First day, to ponder them, to focus consciousness on them, the focal point of spirit, not to let anything else come in, though that the idea which we have conceived in mind is kept pure. So we could never start with purity. Can you see that? Now you must now always ask, why can't we start with any other point than wisdom? So we would not be able to start to say right at the beginning, yeah, now you see, if you want to solve that problem, you just have to start with purity or with pure thoughts. First you would have to know what are right thoughts, what are wise thoughts, or else you don't know what pure thoughts are. Pure thoughts means that you first know what the right thoughts are and what the right ideas are, and then keep that pure. So this, I think, is quite logic. And then comes spiritual understanding. That's the great turning point in any development, where we begin to see that we can only understand that which is pure, spiritual. We can only understand that which comes out of that second stage of purity, because in purity you only take in the right ideas, and then when we focus all that those right ideas at the focal point of spirit, we see through it, it becomes transparent, and we get the spiritual understanding. So it's no use to say to a patient when you start in, or when we have to work out something, well, I better start with spiritual understanding. Yes, what is spiritual understanding? What do we understand with spiritual understanding? If we do not know beforehand what are ideas of mind, we certainly will not understand something spiritually, because first we must have our elements, the ideas of mind, then keep them separate, keep them pure in our consciousness and not constantly mix them up with human opinions, with human concepts, with material concepts, with limited concepts, but to keep them pure, that's the second step. Then we have the transparency of that situation where we begin to see through the situation clearly, which is spiritual understanding. And only when we have that definite understanding of the idea, definite understanding, soul, of the idea, only then we know that understanding has power. And so we come to the fourth, to spiritual power, to principle, which shows that only that which we have understood demonstrates itself. We cannot demonstrate something which we have not understood. So, can you see again the logic? I mean, these are the things one should ponder for months and years to see the absolute irresistible logic, the irrevocable order. Now I got it. The irrevocable order. Huh? That's what we have to see. That this order cannot be changed, or it isn't a creative order. That therefore we can't start with the force and say, I have to make a demonstration over this, and now I'm going to work on it and make a demonstration. What are we going to demonstrate if we have not before gained spiritual understanding? If we try to demonstrate something which is not on the basis of spiritual understanding, we are going to demonstrate something which is humanly conceived, which is a human desire on the basis of willpower, of conceptual understanding instead of spiritual understanding. You just can see that spiritual power must rest on those three great pillars of mind, spirit, soul, of wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding. Then it begins to prove itself, principle. So in general, we begin to see that actually mind, spirit, and soul are the first wing, the wing of understanding, so to say, of that principle which stands in the middle. And that only when we build our principle on mind, spirit, and soul, if we take mind, spirit, soul as our principle, see, then we have started in a right way. Then the order goes on and brings in love with a small L, which I said always gives some kind of difficulty because she has taken that from the biblical connotation where Jesus said there is no greater love than that you lay down the mortal sense of yourself for your friend. Love is that willingness to lift oneself higher in the scale of being above the mortal sense of things. It's the fifth day of creation where the birds are no more earthbound but fly above the earth, where in the open firmament of heaven, where there are soaring aspirations, where we begin to see that that which the divine principle of spiritual power, the fourth stage, is going to demonstrate will be something which is far above the mortal concept and therefore demands of us that we are laying down a mortal concept, a mortal expectation, a mortal aim, and free ourselves of the earth-bound weight of trying to demonstrate something humanly. It is that willingness, you see, to let the divine principle live us. That's life. That's love. Life, capital L, which expresses itself as love, small l, namely where we are willing, where we have that love that we say, not my, but thy will be done, where we are willing to let the principle live us. Then, only then, when we have this attitude of letting principle work the way principle wants to work, and not according to a mortal thought or the mortal way, only then do we reach the sixth stage, which Mrs. Eddy calls health, which is wholeness. Only then nothing stands in the way that the demonstration brings out the pure demonstration, which is health, where every facet of that demonstration takes form and so brings out the ideal form, which is health. Again, we could see we cannot start with health because we are sick, because the situation is not right and is unhealthy, we say, all right, we know that truth is health, so we start right in and demonstrate health. How on earth are we going to demonstrate health if we cannot stand on the shoulder of the preceding stages of consciousness, where we say, what on earth are we going to demonstrate as health if we don't see that mind says, you only can demonstrate ideas. That's what the mind says. And these ideas in spirit are pure, are spiritual. And these ideas are the only true identities, soul. And they only can be demonstrated through principle. And how can they be demonstrated through principle? By your willingness to let principle operate the way principle wants to operate, and you don't put your own concepts into the situation. You drop and leave out your mortal concept, love, small l. And only then have we the opportunity to experience true health. So we begin to realize, you see, that a demonstration must be structured and not be atomistic. That we can't take just a false concept like sickness and say sickness is the counterfeit of health, and then take health again as an atomistic idea, which actually doesn't exist, an atomistic idea, an atomistic concept which we think is an idea, and say, now I work on that idea, health. But what does that health mean? It is atomistic. It is unrelated. It is unstructured. It has no place value within the whole. And a true demonstration is always the demonstration of an idea within the whole. Never to demonstrate an idea for that idea's sake, but always for the sake of that idea finding its right place value within the whole, within the gestalt of everything. That's why here the sixth stage could easily be shown as gestalt, that's true health, where all ideas are related to each other in a perfect way, so that they form a true form, that's health. And you feel then after that, as a seventh stage, that you feel at the stage of rest and peace, of holiness, of glory. That's the seventh, holiness. So we begin to see what Mrs. Eddy really meant, you know, when I read yesterday that statement which she makes in Miscellaneous Writing 57, where she says, in its genesis, the science of creation is stated in mathematical order. You know, the moment one is awake to order and doesn't think anymore in atomistic concepts, one can see that all over her teaching is the sense of order and law and structure and relationship and gestalt, and one becomes aware that one goes through a completely new way of working out things, namely in the structural way. And the very first thing to work out things structurally is first to see order, to see first that ideas have a definite place value within order, and therefore that in order to demonstrate an idea, one has to be aware of the presupposition of that whole problem and go first right back to see if those presuppositions are really established in consciousness or not. Can you see the order here? Say, you can't start with holiness just because we know that fundamentally God's creation is perfect. And so to say, all right, I start out with perfection. That's the point from which we start out, but we must know what perfection is. And in order to build up in consciousness the idea called perfection, we know that the idea must reflect all other ideas, and so must therefore be supported by the whole range of that word order in order to bring out the complete and perfect sense of the idea. When Mr. Dolly began to see these orders, and he saw them in various ways, you know, he began to see not only that the 7 days of creation are an irrevocable order. You know, you can't start with the second day and say, let there be a firmament and to divide. What can you divide if you have nothing to divide? You first must have the first day which says, here I present you the true ideas. Then you can say, all right, I keep them pure and separate from all the counterfeit beliefs. There's just, can you see the inner logic of it? And so when he was thinking about these things, he could see that order going, say, through the days of creation. He could see them going through that third degree which we have just been taking. He could see that that order is presented in the positive statements of the seven first statements of the commandments. Then he could see it in the seven first statements of the Beatitudes. He could see the Lord's Prayer in those same state, in that same order. You know that from the compendium number 3, there we have presented these orders, always showing that there is an irresistible word order. The moment we have to build up, so to say, in consciousness, the perfect concept, then we always use the word order, because the word order is the creative order. Through the word everything was made that was made. So whenever we don't know what is the nature of the perfection of an idea, we will go through the word order, because it builds it up logically and orderly. So he could see that. He could see many other orders. And at one time he used to teach it in the class in his own way, coining it in its own way. And he had the following order, and perhaps you write it first down, and then we talk about it. He had us first, he said, the first step is creative ability. First, creative ability. Second, unfoldment. Third, identity. Fourth, classification. Then, fifth, individualization. Sixth, consciousness. Seventh, unity with God. He tried in this way, so to say, to pinpoint in the metaphysical language the creative order, which says that whenever we are faced with finding a solution to a problem and therefore need a creative act, that we can go back to the word order and see that we have to start with mind, which tells us that mind is the creator, therefore that in mind lies all the creative ability, and therefore gives us the divine ideas. But just to give the right idea or the illumination or the a new light is not enough. Spirit takes over and unfolds these ideas. So you have a second unfoldment, so that the idea gathers momentum and unfolds like with a plant, until finally, so to say, the flower comes out and you see what it is after a while. Namely, soul always gives then identity to that creative act, always brings out its own identity. It's the seed within itself. Once we see the identity of an idea, then we shouldn't leave it at that. We shouldn't say, oh, Eureka, here it is, fine, here it is. Then we have to put it into the whole. We have to see it in its classification within the divine principle. We must see its place value, and so you have fourth classification. You could also say systematization. It's just like when we have found somewhere a new plant and say, now, what is this? We through the categories of what you call it, you classify your plants, huh? Botany, yes. I was never good at that at school. You classify it, and by classifying it into the whole system, naturally you begin to see its place value, and so you get a sense of what is the purpose, the value of that idea within the whole. Then you begin to see, fifth, life, individualization. One begins to see the individual office of that idea within the whole, and realizes the various relationship of that individuality within the whole. Then he saw that this develops into consciousness, Because then one begins to see that this idea is no more a single idea, but an idea within the whole, and feels that the whole is one consciousness. That's all the new idea that has come on, has sprang forth, is therefore constituting our consciousness, which brings us seventh in unity with being, unity with God. And then the idea is right brought back home from where it started out when it said, let there be light. So that it is not so much really a linear reasoning, but actually a circle reasoning or a spiral reasoning that comes always back to mind. And so often Mrs. Eddy would show in the textbook that love would lead back to mind. Love imparts the clearest idea of mind. Well, these are the word order, the logicity, and naturally the moment we look not only at various ideas, how they develop, like wisdom or like light, but take the whole word order from the point of view of the synonymous terms, then again one can see in a big way that this order is irresistible. For instance, just to go through it again, from the point of view of the synonymous term themselves, one can see that without mind we would never understand anything. Can you see that the creative process of the self-statement and self-revelation of being must really start with mind, because mind is, as we heard, as ideas, the first, the cause, the origin, the creator, the producer. Can you see that which produces idea? It's the mental state, the mentalist, which says, without mind, you will never be aware of anything anyway. So we start right in with mind, and so we can see we can't start with any other one.